of Route 5 which I walk are good, but there is one stretch, a short, steep hill, where a pedestrian walking north can see very little of what might be coming his way. I was three-quarters of the way up this hill when Brian Smith, the owner and operator of the Dodge van, came over the crest. He wasn't on the road. He was on the shoulder. My shoulder. I had perhaps three-quarters of a second to register this. It was just time enough to think, my God, I'm going to be hit by a school bus. I started to turn to my left. There is a break in my memory here. On the other side of it, I'm on the ground, looking at the back of the van, which is now pulled off the road and tilted to one side. This recollection is very clear and very sharp, more like a snapshot than a memory. There is dust around the van's taillights. The license plate and the back windows are dirty. I register these things with no thought that I have been in an accident or of anything else. It's a snapshot, that's all. I'm not thinking. My head has been swapped clean. There's another little break in my memory here, and then I am very carefully wiping palmfuls of blood out of my eyes with my left hand. When my eyes are reasonably clear, I look around and see a man sitting on a nearby rock. He has a cane drawn across his lap. This is Brian Smith, 42 years of age, the man who hit me with his van. Smith has got quite the driving record. He has racked up nearly a dozen vehicle-related offenses. Smith wasn't looking at the road on the afternoon our lives came together because his Rottweiler had jumped from the very rear of his van into the back seat area, where there was an igloo cooler with some meat stored inside. The Rottweiler's name is Bullet. Smith has another Rottweiler at home. That one is named Pistol. Bullet started to nose at the lid of the cooler. Smith turned around and tried to push Bullet away. He was still looking at Bullet and pushing his head away from the cooler when he came over the top of the knoll, still looking and pushing when he struck me. Smith told friends later that he thought he'd hit a small deer until he noticed my bloody spectacles lying on the front seat of his van. They were knocked from my face when I tried to get out of Smith's way. The frames were bent and twisted, but the lenses were unbroken. They are the lenses I'm wearing now as I write this. Smith sees I'm awake and tells me help is on the way. He speaks calmly, even cheerily. His look, as he sits on his rock with his cane drawn across his lap, is one of pleasant commiseration. Ain't the two of us just had the shittiest luck, it says. He and Bullet left the campground where they were staying, he later tells an investigator, because he wanted some of those Maz's buys they have up to the stoa. When I hear this little detail some weeks later, it occurs to me that I have nearly been killed by a character out of one of my own novels. It's almost funny.
That's Stephen King reading from his new memoir, On Writing. Stephen King, welcome back to Fresh Air, and it's so great to still have you with us.
It's nice to be here, but I tell people nowadays it's nice to be anywhere.
Right. Did Smith say anything to you, anything else to you, as you were laying there drifting in and out of consciousness after he hit you?
He said, I've never had so much as a parking ticket in my life, and here it is my bad luck to hit the best-selling writer in the world. And I think he said, I loved all your movies.
Did he really say that?
Yeah.
So he's lying to you as you're lying there, nearly dying?
Well, he said he had never had so much as a parking ticket, and God knows he had a lot of traffic offenses. We don't want to speak ill of the dead if we can help it, because he did die last month, and on my birthday, as a matter of fact, which
no.
is a little bit eerie.
Yeah.
He and I share the same middle name as well. We're both Edwins. We were. Now I'm, well, never mind.
you know, in that reading, you say that it made you think that he was like a character in your fiction. Were there other things that made you think of him that way?
Well, God knows that I've lived in rural Maine for a lot of years. It's where I grew up, and it's where my wife and I live now, in a town of about 900 people. And